Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that it's a day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So help us, Father, to rejoice as we hear your word, and we pray for Reuben now as he delivers it, for the Sunday school teachers as they deliver it, that you would speak through them, that we would listen and obey and enjoy you more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, mate. Before we get started on our message, I'll just do a quick prayer, even though we've been praying a lot. It's a good thing. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for just coming together to worship you, to give you praises and honor. And we thank you that you're always with us as believers, Father. And we always come together on Sundays just to worship you. I pray that you'll be with each and every one of us. And a big thank you for JJ and the rest of the elders of the church. We know that they've got a lot of responsibilities, Father, and we just need to acknowledge them in our lives as spiritual leaders in our lives, Father. So I pray and thank you, Lord, for Westview Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been wrongly accused of something you didn't do? How did you react to the people that said these things about you? A man named John was driving home late one night when he came across a hitchhiker, so he decided to give him a ride. As they were going along, he got suspicious of the hitchhiker, so John checked his jacket on the side of him just to see if his wallet was still there, only to find out that his wallet wasn't there. So he slammed on the brakes and told the hitchhiker to get out and give back his wallet immediately. And the hitchhiker was surprised, so he gave him a billfold. A billfold is something similar to a wallet, but with less pockets. And John drove off. When John arrived at home, he started to tell his wife about the whole ordeal. And his wife said, before you continue your story, John, did you know that you left your wallet at home? Maybe you've been accused of something that you didn't do. Maybe you've been at work and people are saying that you've been bludging. But the fact of the matter is they're the ones that have been bludging. Or maybe that there's been money stolen and you've got the blame for it. Our passage this morning that we're reading from is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 to 21. Our theme this morning is lessons from the life of Paul. Lessons from the life of Paul. The Apostle Paul, before he became a Christian, he was a religious fanatic. He went around persecuting the Christians and dragging them off to court and taking them to prison. And one day he encountered Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And ever since then, the Apostle Paul, he was converted to becoming a Christian. So Jesus gave him instructions and told him to take the gospel to first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. So after that, he was a transformed person. And the text of this morning we're looking at is what lessons can we draw from the life of Paul? Lesson number one is how false teachings lead to false living. And number two is, in everything we do, we should act with integrity. And the goal of a Christian is to grow spiritually. False teaching leads to false living. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians verse 11 and says, "Have you made me act like a fool? You ought to be writing commendations for me, for I am not all inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing at all." The Corinthian church was started by the Apostle Paul, and there were false apostles that were infiltrated the church in Corinthians. And they were saying a lot of things about the Apostle Paul. They're saying that he wasn't a true apostle. They said that he was poor. And they said that he was weak. I mean, even his letters, his writings, is not that impressive. And when you see him physically, he doesn't look all that impressive. He's weak. So Paul responds to their accusations and tells them in verse 11, he says, oh, I'm just paraphrasing here. He's saying, oh, you should have stuck up for me, but instead, you are listening to these false apostles. I remember when we were living in Brisbane, we had a friend come around, and he was on his way back to Queensland. And we were catching up. We were talking about all sorts of different subjects, but we got onto the subject of religion. And he was saying that there's this prophet of God who's teaching us the word of God, and we're studying the book of Revelation. And we said to him, oh, where's he from? And he said that he's from America. He said, as a matter of fact, I was there not long ago. And, just visiting my family over there. And so as he went along with the story, he was saying that this person here was Jesus Christ himself. And then I was thinking to myself, hang on, doesn't the Bible say that the next time Jesus comes, every eye shall see him when he returns? And so we said that to him, and then he says, oh, yeah, but you have to understand prophecy. The key to unlocking the scriptures is knowing prophecy. And so we disagreed, and he went back home. But the thing is, you have to understand about my friend, he's very persuasive. He was probably like the Corinthians the false apostles in Corinthians. So he's very persuasive. But anyway, he went back home. But a few months later, we see on the news, there's this religious group that are at arms with the police in Waco, Texas. And there was a lot of gunfire, and the building was burning. And out of all the people, there was about 80 people that died, including David Koresh. So obviously that these people were preaching a false gospel. So how can we tell a false gospel from a true gospel? We need to know the truth. We need to be like the Bereans in the book of Acts. When the Apostle Paul, he was preaching in the synagogues, the Bereans, the locals, they used to search the word to see if Paul and Silas, they were teaching what was true. And so we need to be like them. We're under the covenant of grace, which means that it's not our good works that saves us. It's God that saves us. All we have to do is just believe in him. And then we've have eternal life. Obviously, that we're going to have disagreements about minor subjects in the scriptures, probably because of interpretation. That's all right. But as long as we've got the salvation part right. I mean, I remember talking to JJ and about the subject, and he was saying that, there's a, it's called bullseye. If we've got the main subject, like the salvation part, right, and all the minor subjects, so he used the illustration of baptism. A lot of people disagree with baptism. They think that, babies, it's all right for babies to be born, and other people say that you need to be an adult to be baptized. Those are secondary natures of the question of salvation. But now we're under the covenant of grace. So the covenant of grace is the letters from Paul. And they start from Romans to Philemon. And that's the letter that he sent to the churches out in the Middle East where he planted the churches. And it's for us as well. And what other lessons do we get from the text that we're looking at? we need to act with integrity. In verse 13 to 19, it says, "The only thing I failed to do, which I do in other churches, was to become a financial burden to you. Please forgive me for this wrong. Now I am coming to you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you. I don't want you to have, I want you. After all, children don't provide for their parents. Rather, parents provide for their children. I will gladly spare myself and all I have for you, even though it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. Some of you admit that I was not a burden to you, but others still think I was sneaky and took advantage of you by trickery. But how did any of the men I sent to you take advantage of you? When I urged Titus to visit you, I sent out other brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? No, for we have the same spirit and walk in each other's steps, doing the things the same way. Perhaps you think we're saying these things just to defend ourselves. No, we tell you this as Christ's servants and with God as our witness. Everything we do, dear friends, is to strengthen you." The Apostle Paul acted with integrity in everything that he did. He didn't take advantage of the Corinthians church. He acted honestly. And he didn't take advantage of them for financial gain, because the Apostle Paul was a tent maker. He supported himself financially. But he even sent Titus just to strengthen the Corinthian church. And that shows you the love of a father to his children, the spiritual father to his children. There was an emperor from China who had no children. He needed to choose a successor to rule his empire. So he gave them all a seed. And they were to go home, plant that seed, and tend it for a year. And after a year, they were to return, and he would judge their efforts and then crown a successor. There was a boy named Ling who received the seed and went home. And he planted that seed, and his mother helped him to choose a pot and put dirt into it. After a few days, Ling continued to water this plant. After a few days, every week, the children would come together in the village just to compare their pots. After a few weeks, the pot really came to life. All the pots except for Ling's. He still watered his plant, but there was nothing growing. And after a few months, it started to grow. And there were plants, there were shrubs, there were flowers that were growing. All except for Ling. But Ling continued to water his pot plant. And a few months went by, and it was nearly time to go back to the palace to show the emperor and choose a successor. Ling was anxious. He was saying to his mother, "Oh, they don't know what I've done. How would if I get in trouble? They don't know that I water the plant every day. They might think that I'm lazy." And the mother said, "Whatever the consequences were, Ling, you need to go and show your pot plant to the emperor." And all the children went into the palace, and everybody was excited that they were going to show their pot plant to the emperor. And the emperor came out, and then he went through the crowd making his assessment. After a few hours, he came over to Ling. And he looked at Ling, and then he looked at the pot. He said, "Oh, what happened here, Ling?" And Ling says, "Oh, I water the pot every day, but it doesn't grow." And the emperor mumbled something to himself, and then he moved on with his assessment. After a few hours, finally, the emperor came, and he stood in front of the children. And he said, it's pretty clear to me that everybody, most children want to be emperor and would do anything just to make that happen. But I want to show you that this child came to me with nothing. And Ling, can you come up here? And so Ling was quite shocked, and he said, oh, no. So he went up with his pot plant, and the emperor held up his pot plant, and then all the children laughed. And he said, a year ago, I gave you all the seed to go home and plant, take care of it, and then come back in a year's time. The seed that I gave you was all bored down. It was dead, so it could no longer grow. But I see before me thousands of plants and one barren pot. And he said, for a good leader, you need to have integrity and courage, not proud display. So I'm going to make Ling the heir of the emperor. So the point is, we need to act with integrity. As the Holy Spirit transforms our lives, all these fruits comes into place. Sorry, just I lost my way a bit. Have to get back on track. We need to act with integrity. The next point that I want to make is we need to grow spiritually. There was a study that done by scientists. They wanted a study on alcoholism. There was two twin brothers and one alcoholic father. And the twin brothers grew up. One twin brother was an alcoholic, and he was homeless. And the other brother, the other twin brother, was a successful businessman, and he never touched alcohol in his life. So they interviewed both of them separately, and he asked one of the twin brothers, "Oh, what made you become like this?" And the brother said, "Oh, well, I just saw my father drinking alcohol all the time, and there was always alcohol around the house. So for me, it was just natural to be an alcoholic." And then they interviewed another brother, the other brother who was a successful businessman, and they said, "Oh, what made you turn out to be like this?" And he says, "Well, alcohol was around all the time in the house, and my father was an alcoholic, so it was natural for me not to be like my father." These two were in the same circumstances, but yet they chose different paths in life. The point I want to make is that one had a fixed mindset. He didn't want to. He just thought that it was just natural for him to be like his father. The other one had a growth mindset, and he wanted a change. And likewise with the text that we're studying this morning, it says, verses 20 to 21, it says, "I am afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find, and you won't like my response. I am afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly behavior. Yes, I am afraid that when I come again, God will humble me in your presence, and I will be grieved because many of you have not given up your old sins. You have not repented of your impurity, sexual immorality, and eagerness for lustful pleasure." The Corinthians were infants spiritually. And when, why I say that is because Paul planted the church in Corinthians, and he didn't want to build on anybody else's faith. And so, they were spiritually infants, but they were listening to these false apostles. These false apostles were persuading them to do, you shouldn't listen to Paul. So In the text that we've just finished reading, it's pretty evident that they needed to grow spiritually. So that's what Paul was saying, that you needed to grow spiritually. You can't stay the same. Paul wrote to them the third time. He said that he was going to visit them three times. This is the third time. So the next time that he was going to visit them, he was hoping that they would change and they would have grown in the spirit. So what is spiritual growth? Spiritual growth is becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. That's the goal of Christianity, is becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And once that happens, you know, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, and then we become transformed. But, you know, luckily for God, he's given us a lifetime to be like Jesus Christ. And in Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 23, it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. There are two lists here. When we came to Christ, we were committing these sins. And these are the sins of the flesh. But before you gave your life to Christ, you start to change. And these sins become fewer and fewer as you walk with Christ. And the second list is the fruits of the Spirit. The more you walk with God, the more evident of these spirits being in these fruits of the Spirit being in your life. So he's transforming you from the inside out. And like I said, that he's given us a lifetime to go through that process. So it's all based on the application and study of God's word. So just to conclude our message, it's going to be a short one. Just to conclude our message, a leader named Nicodemus went up to Jesus and told him, "You can't, you must be from God, because you wouldn't be able to perform these signs and wonders." And Jesus replied to Nicodemus. He says, "You have to be born of the Spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. So you must be born again." And Nicodemus replied that, "How can you be born again? You can't enter into your mother's womb the second time." And Jesus said, "You have to be born again." So the point I want to make is, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you need to believe in the Son of God. So that's our message for today. I'll end off with a word of prayer, and then we'll continue our worship service. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message that you've told us. You taught us in your word, Father, as we continue to study and meditate and ponder over the things that you continue to do in our lives, Father. I pray that that we'll bear fruit, and we'll be a blessing to others as well, and as others be a blessing for us, Father. And you've given us a lot of responsibility in regards to family and friendship, Father. So it's all about relationship, Father. We thank you, Lord, for today, and we thank you for coming together once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.